The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a great Thursday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmat, from the Waste Management Open Patriots Outpost, overlooking 18th Tee, where it's supposed to be about 79 degrees today. Huge crowd out and about. Thanks for joining us on the show. Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports now as well. Appreciate AZ Central Sports and the good people there picking us up on a daily basis. And on White Mountain Radio, on Twitter, at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Had a late night, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be any good today. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, is back in the studios. We actually have an on-site engineer today who's just, I don't know, sitting here. Big Scott is checking us out and taking this in. Patriots Outpost. So the deal on Patriots Outpost is you come on out to the open, there's a tank, a literal tank, that's sitting to just the right of this Patriots Outpost tent. This is where I'm broadcasting from. If you are not a veteran, if you've never served in the military, you can't come in here. I'm sorry. But this is a VIP, and I say VIP, I mean real VIP event. People that come in, they show their military ID, military badge, they get free food, free drink. They get a great seat, and there's already people rolling in here early in the day to check out the great golf. Jared Cohen is out on the course somewhere, following Phil Mickelson as well. As mentioned, Eric is back in studio. Late night for me, I watched ASU and Cal in overtime until it was late. Did you see any of that game?
I watched the entire game, and I caught the entire second half of the U of A game, so lots of Pac-12 basketball on my schedule last night as well. Good road trip so far for the Arizona schools.
You didn't sit through the Suns Bucks, huh?
A little bit, but that game wasn't. It's the Suns at the end of a road trip playing a bad team, and the basketball was not that great.
You know, if you were there, if you watched the Suns Bucks game last night, my thought is, and I don't want this to sound condescending towards anybody, but my thought is if you watched the Suns Bucks game last night, that you would end up saying you need to go on a date. You need to go get a life. And there's no offense to the Suns fans that sat there and watched the Suns and the Bucks, but Eric, you and I could have been the Bucks last night. Man, they are awful, like really bad. But the U of A game was very entertaining, and I watched that from start to finish. We'll get into that in a minute. Our Facebook question of the day now comes from Eric.
Brad, it's going to be a busy few years in the Valley. There are some pretty monumental events starting next year. Obviously, the Super Bowl will be held in Glendale. The year after that, the national championship game will be at University of Phoenix Stadium, and there are rumblings. Arizona is a possibility for an upcoming Final Four. So today, our Facebook question of the day is pretty simple. If you could attend one of the three, just one, which would it be? Head over to Facebook.com/Sports360AZ, like our page, and share your input. For me, this one's easy. I would have to say a Final Four simply because I've never attended a Final Four.
Well, I'd have to say the Final Four, too. The national title game would be second. Super Bowl would be last. The Final Four, there's no comparison to a Final Four, and I think it's because it's still there's a lot of sponsors and muckety-mucks that get the tickets down low, but you can still get in there as a common man and check it out. I think what's cool is you're walking along at a Final Four, and, hey, there's fill-in-the-blank coach. There's Tubby Smith over there talking to Billy Donovan, who's over in the corner talking to Steve Fisher. You know, it's one of those deals where it's a who's who. Lorenzo Romar is sitting over there on his phone having a conversation with Lon Kruger. And it's everybody and anybody in basketball terms. The first Final Four I went to, U of A, was in Charlotte. And I remember doing a show where Billy Tubbs and Jim Herrick were walking together. I put the two of them on. I knew Coach Herrick. And I'm sitting there with Billy Tubbs and Jim Herrick, and all I was thinking to myself is, I just need to get out of the way. And then Vital comes by, and Billy Packer back in the day, and all those names. So it was very cool. I would like to see, you know, yesterday, Eric, the conversation with Derek Hall about having an outdoor hockey game down at the ballpark in conjunction to the Super Bowl next year, like they did earlier this week in New York. I would like to see that, and I would attend that. I would want a ticket to that. But, you know, the Super Bowl itself, no, don't have an interest. So you go over to Facebook.com/Sports360AZ, you get in on that. Our coverage of the Waste Management Phoenix Open brought to you by Gateway Airport in Mesa. I've been telling you for a year and a half now about Gateway Airport in Mesa, just plain easy, with more than 35 destinations on Allegiant Airlines. I've taken the show to locations all around the country. We'd absolutely love flying out of Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport is just plain easy. Visit justplaineasy.com, justplaineasy.com, Gateway Airport, just plain easy. Jared Cohen is out on the course. We're going to check in with him at some point. Jason Jewell from Scout.com, we're 6 days away from National Letter of Intent Day. Rich Rodriguez was at some high schools yesterday, and we'll get the latest from Jason Jewell. Calais Campbell scheduled to join us from the Super Bowl. And Jahi Carson, I'm believing Jahi is going to hop on a phone with us. I haven't talked to Jahi in a while, and with their win last night, looks like we're going to get Jahi Carson at some point in today's show. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. You're looking for big game coverage, looking for the place to check out the game. It's at the Honda Resort and Casino. You pull on down on those slots, you eat some great food, you have some great fun. Get on up there, go to the Sunrise Ski Resort. They're making snow at Sunrise. Yeah, there's not been a whole lot of precipitation. They're making snow. So head on up to Sunrise and then go to Honda, watch the game. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the White Mountains. So here at the TPC Scottsdale this morning, Phil Mickelson is out on the course. I got to thinking about this, E, of an over-under of Phil Mickelson before he withdraws from the tournament. What's the over-under on number of holes before Phil Mickelson withdraws? This was earlier today out on the course. Phil Mickelson arrived at TPC Scottsdale.
The next professional in this group from Rancho Santa Fe, California, with 42 PGA Tour wins, including 3 Waste Management Phoenix Open wins, our defending champion, and including 5 majors, last year's Open champion. Please welcome Phil Mickelson.
So a huge crowd for Phil there, and they're following him around on the course. He struggled early. He's 4 holes in the last that I saw, but we'll check in with Jared Cohen at some point out on the course. Maybe get Jared thrown out of here for being on his cell phone. I don't know. We'll have some fun with that. At the Super Bowl, the storylines are starting to become more focused. The weather is starting to become more focused, that the wind is, in fact, going to be a factor, and that it's not going to be as bad. It'll be in the low 30s for the day, which means by kickoff at 6:30 in New York, it'll probably be in the high 20s. The game itself, Bruce Arians, Cardinal head coach, with us earlier, his thoughts on the Super Bowl from the Cardinals head coach.
I think it's going to be a great game. I just hope the weather doesn't change the outcome of the game for one team or the other. Then just let them fight it out on the field. And I'm just guessing the Broncos with Peyton winning it late.
Russell Wilson, what's your approach for Sunday's game from the Seahawks quarterback?
Be poised. That is one of my strengths. But when you have a game like this, when all the cameras are going on, all the excitement, you've been working your whole life to get there. Your nerves will be up a little bit. And just turn them down a little bit.
How do you not like Russell Wilson? For the Peyton Manning detractors, and they're detractors of Peyton Manning, they're typically detractors that live in, San Diego, Oakland, Kansas City, and Indianapolis. They're those people. There's also those that think that he's gone too corporate. He pushes Papa John's Pizza, and he pushes a Buick. And so he's trying to be the common man. I actually think that's pretty smart business. He's setting himself up for when he's done playing football. A lot of guys don't do that. I don't mind any of that from Peyton Manning, but I do understand the backlash. There are those that say if he loses this Super Bowl, he's not one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Those people have been nipping on the cooking sherry or have been in the legalized pot states of Colorado and Seattle. How are you going to make a case that Peyton Manning's not one of the greatest ever if he loses in Sunday's game? Are you kidding me? On the other hand, you have Russell Wilson, who's just this kid who's rolling on in now. Has made a tremendous impact up in Seattle. I think he's made a tremendous impact nationally. I like what Russell Wilson's all about when I hear him talk. I don't think he's gotten enough attention this week. I don't. And I know that every day those guys are available, but it's been the Manning show. The storylines I'd like to see myself, I'd like to see Richard Sherman pick off Peyton Manning early in the game for a pick six. I would like to see Richard Sherman do something really cool so that the detractors just go that much crazier with themselves. Because there's some people that have gone apoplectic over Richard Sherman. They've lost their minds over this guy. Race has come in some people's view on this guy, unfortunately. So I want to see Richard Sherman get a pick six. Do I want to see Peyton Manning have a bad game? No, because all that's going to do is fuel the fire of those that have this belief that, well, he's really not that good of a quarterback. I don't know. I think the Chicago Bears would take Peyton Manning. I think the Packers would probably take Peyton Manning over Aaron Rodgers. Look, there's a number of teams that would take him. I know the Cardinals wanted him. We all wanted to see Peyton Manning here, so this whole Manning debate to me has just been filling time. That's why 2 weeks before Super Bowl, you get into these nonsensical, absurd debates about whether Manning's a good quarterback or not. Now, if you want to debate if Dominic Rogers Cromartie's a good corner, we could do that all day long, because when he was here, man, that guy did not want to hit anybody. Now he's in a Super Bowl. That's fine. That's fair. He's not going to the Hall of Fame. On the other side, so a lot on the college basketball scene, and I want to get into the most popular sport in America. A poll came out yesterday on that, and these college kids looking to unionize at Northwestern. A lot on my mind as we roll on from the Patriots Outpost. Brad Susmats at the Waste Management Open, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Susmats.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.
Live at the Patriots Outpost, Brad Susmats, sports360az.com, on AZ Central Sports for a couple of hours doing our thing Monday through Friday. And our coverage in this segment brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, it's just plain easy. I've been telling you about Gateway Airport with more than 35 destinations on Allegiant Airlines. We've taken the show to locations all around the country. They're fast, they're friendly, they're affordable. You can get to Vegas, the Bay Area, Provo, Utah, Bellingham, just to name a few destinations. I'm going to fly Gateway to Rockford. My daughter goes to college just outside of Chicago starting in September. I'm going to take that. It's no-brainer. Convenient, easy, affordable for the Sussmat household. How about you? JustPlainEasy.com. JustPlainEasy.com. Year-round Gateway Airport, it's just plain easy. On the course right now, Jared Cohen checks in with us from Sports 360 AZ. Now, Jared is not supposed to be on his cell phone. They will throw you out if you're in a spot where they see you on the course. So, are you hiding? Are you in a blue building? Where are you right now?
Well, I didn't have enough time to hide out of plain sight, but I'm over by the putting green and the driving range right now, and hopefully no one gets offended.
Yeah, that's fine. And if they do, tell them tough. So you followed Phil around this morning. How did he look?
Yeah, he looks okay. You know, I mean, he's even par right now. He just teed off at 17. He's probably wrapping up around this time now. He looks okay. I mean, it wasn't the quest for 59 Phil that we saw in the first round last year, which looked like he was invincible. I don't want to say that his back is bothering him, because I don't know for a fact. He does look a little stiff from just walking on the course, but he looks okay. He's even par, and that about explains his round so far.
So when he's walking around, are you seeing him stretch? Because that's what he was doing last week at Torrey Pines. People I talked to out there said every hole he is trying to stretch and stay loose. Is he doing the same thing this week?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that. You know, I mean, it looks like he's taking a couple extra practice swings before he steps up to the ball. I don't know if that's what he does every time, but it looks like he's doing that maybe just to keep himself a little bit loose. But it's not like noticeable stretching where he's bending down without a club and stretching out and grabbing his feet and all that good stuff. So I wouldn't say it's that bad, but, you know, I don't know if it's out of character for him to take a couple extra practice swings or not.
What is the over-under in your opinion before he withdraws?
I think he'll be okay, you know. I mean, if he keeps this up, you know, he doesn't look bad. You know, he doesn't look like he's out uncomfortable, and he's, you know, he's just got to worry about making the cut first. He's only about an even par right now. Nicholas Cole starts his shot out of the gates at 5-under in the front nine, so... You know, I think he'll be okay, but, you know, I put the over-under at through tomorrow, and I'll take the over.
Do you think he's going to make it? Wow. I'm going to go under. There's something that tells me that by tomorrow afternoon, it's I gave it a good college try, and I played, well, he'll get through 16, because what, today he teed off on 1. So tomorrow he
teed off
at 10.
On 10 today.
Oh, wait. Oh, today he teed off on 10. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So for him, to play through 16 2 days in a row, I think would be big. I don't know. There's something, Jared, that tells me that he'll make it through the first two rounds, and then I think for my best interest, I should walk out. But I could be wrong. I hope I am. I hope he's here all weekend. Was the gallery huge around him?
Not enormous, no. There was a few reporters around following him, the crowd was pretty good at 16. It's not sold out. There was a pretty solid crowd around him at 10 when he teed off, but it was pretty early. So, yeah. I mean, I've seen way bigger crowds over the last few years around him. So I'm sure it'll pick up as the day goes along. Not huge, but definitely more than anyone else on the course, that's for sure.
No question about it. I'll let you go off that. Stay well, stay out of trouble.
Will do.
It's Jared Cohen out there following Phil around today, working on his piece. Jared's got a couple things he's putting up on sports360az.com. It's content that's just different, a little bit off the beaten path. It's not the leaderboards and all that stuff, just things that we see a little bit different. That's at sports360az.com. Let's get over to the Suns and a couple other things on my mind from last night. I made fun of them earlier about their game. Dragic, they're going to find out later today if he made the All-Star team as a reserve. And I think he does deserve to be there. I know I've been the one that's been beating the chest of Goran is a better player coming off the bench for this team. But that's when Bledsoe is healthy. Last night, for Jeff Hornacek's team, this was just getting another one out of the way. It's funny to say that about this team because a year ago they were the ones that are getting beat on unmercifully. But here's the coach after last night's win.
When we get up, we have a tendency to relax. If you're not scoring, at least play defense. We did neither during that stretch and let them right back in the game. And what is it, 12 at half? So, finishing out the quarter with the guys that are in there, it doesn't matter. If you just come back in, you got to be ready to go.
And a little bit more from Jeff Hornacek. Defensively last night, they didn't play that great. He was trying to limit his minutes because they have Indiana tonight. And in a back-to-back situation, their defense wasn't perfect last night.
Again, we're making shots. We had that stretch of games where we didn't shoot the ball very well. And, our guys shoot with a lot of confidence. And, it's good to see that rhythm, but we still got to get better defensively. We're giving up too many points now.
But they shot 53%. They shot 52% from three-point country. They actually moved up to the sixth seed right now. And I know it's the end of January, but it's not too early, given that this team was supposed to be so wretched, to point out that they're the sixth seed right now. They would open with the Clippers. And I actually think if they were at full strength, they could give the Clippers a bit of a battle. It's not like you look at the Western Conference and say, oh my gosh, look at this juggernaut of teams. There's some good teams, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and dispute that Houston this year is better with Dwight Howard and James Harden. But the Lakers are awful. They're not even going to be a playoff team this year. The teams at the top, San Antonio just lost Manu Ginobili for a month. That's probably good. It's probably one of those deals where he could play, but they're saying, I'll just take a month off. I was caught up last night a little bit in the Durant against LeBron story. Durant went down. Oklahoma City played at Miami last night. And this game was no contest, except it wasn't LeBron James that was doing the beating.
Ran up the right sideline. Pulls up, pops. The angle right three drops. KD says, I'm pumping that, baby. Another tray. A dozen threes on the night. Durant is off the three of them. The 28 in back pocket.
Slim Reaper. Now, he doesn't like the name Slim Reaper. I don't get it. What a great nickname for Kevin Durant. Last night, Slim Shady Reaper. I don't know. SR. Whatever you want to spin it. Kevin Durant has now gone 12 straight games of 30 points and 4-plus assists. That ties Tiny Archibald and Kareem for the second longest streak in NBA history. And this guy is such a freak. When you watch him at 6'10", breaking guys' ankles with his crossover, he could play point guard. He's averaging 37 points per game in the month of January. 37. I get that there's a lot of teams that don't play defense in the NBA, but still. He's putting up numbers that you could start that debate, and I'm sure if I was in Oklahoma City, fans would say, oh, I'd take Kevin Durant over LeBron James in a heartbeat. But I think you can actually start a little bit of a debate about who's playing better basketball right now. This year, there's been this whole, is he coasting or not coasting? There's been that narrative around LeBron James this year. Here at the Patriots Outpost, Phil must be teeing off here at 18 because everybody's now walked out to watch Phil tee off here. There's a big crowd at the Patriots Outpost, Birdies for the Brave. They all want to see Phil tee off out here. What a great sight that is. This spot where we're doing the show from, it's only for active or retired military. If you have a military ID card, it's the only way you can get into this place, and they give you all free food, free drink. It's an exclusive spot, over 18, great seating. They've got couches, and the people that come in here are so happy to be given a spot like this. It's so unique. It's not sitting there in some little corner walking through the golf course. This is a really neat spot, and it's cool to see people enjoying the moment of having Phil come up and play. So, you know, the Durant, back on the Durant thing. Durant's playing great. LeBron's kind of coasting. Oklahoma City in the Western Conference looks like the team to me to beat. On the college end last night, so U of A, 21-0, the best start in over a decade. And I felt like watching them last night that there was a little bit of pressure on them for the first time. Eric, wouldn't you think that we've seen teams that go through this stretch of where they're perfect, and as they continue to go through perfection, the pressure builds and builds and builds. Did you see that out of U of A last night? Because I did.
A little bit.
I'm just seeing stuff.
A little bit. And I think, Brad, and I wrote about it. It's up on sports360az.com. U of A needs to lose a game or four before March Madness, because there's a reason no team has gone undefeated through the tournament since the field expanded 30 years ago. I mean, you don't really necessarily grow and get better from winning. You grow and get better from losing. And I know everyone's caught up in the streak and they're undefeated and they're number one, but it's, you need to just take it down a notch, and it would not be a bad thing if this team lost a game or two before March.
You said four earlier and you made my mouth drop.
No, you just never know. I mean, they could drop a couple conference games. They may not win the Pac-12 tournament, and there's three losses right there.
All right. Well, I don't think they're going to lose that many, but I do believe that they will lose some games along the way. I don't think that they're going to go undefeated. One thing I've noticed about this squad, Nick Johnson is the best player on this team top to bottom, in my opinion. When it gets late and they need help defensively, offensively, Nick Johnson had 5 points in the final 51 seconds and had a couple of big stops, big stops. So there's three unbeaten teams left. You have Syracuse, you have Wichita State, and you have U of A. Later on in the show, Calais Campbell from the Super Bowl, Jahi Carson from up in the Bay Area scheduled to join us. Also, around the corner, Jason Jewell. Jason Jewell will be with us next, scout.com recruiting insider. We're 6 days away from National Letter of Intent Day. Out here at the golf course, Jared Cohen's following around Phil. Stay on top of that. A lot of different directions on today's show as we broadcast live from the Patriots Outpost on the 18th tee overlooking the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat and White Mountain Radio.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at sports360az.
So Phil Mickelson did tee off here, and the fans here at the Patriots Outpost said that he turned around and gave them a thumbs up and then went down on all fours and grabbed his back. No, just kidding. But he did give them a thumbs up. That's very cool out here at 18. But he hit it into the bunker. I'm looking out from our broadcast spot. He's in the sand trying to figure it out. From the Waste Management Phoenix Open, we're at the Patriots Outpost. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. On AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I tell you often how General Manager Tim Hovick is a big sports guy. He's played out here the last couple of days, been a big part of all the festivities out here, was in the Special Olympics putting contest, played in the Pro-Am yesterday. He's somebody that Eric and I will see on sidelines at ASU games for football, basketball. Saw him out in Los Angeles for the ASU-UCLA game. Whenever I talk with him, it's like, hey, I just want to support Valley sports. And he does so in a big way, a big Diamondback sponsor. Derek Hall and I were talking about him yesterday on the show. So if you want to do business and get a vehicle from someone who is fully invested in not just getting you into that car, that truck, but is in the Valley sports scene and making a difference, that's why you need to stop on into Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. That is Santan Ford. It is all about you. Here at the Patriots Outpost, we shift our attention. We're 6 days away now from National Letter of Intent Day in college football. Scout.com recruiting analyst Jason Jewell, part of Sports 360 AZ. He does the recruiting roundup every week with Jared Cohen, a very popular feature on Sports360AZ.com, where they do nothing but recruiting. They do it year-round on a weekly basis. All right, 6 days away. Are you out at high schools today yourself doing recruiting?
Yeah, just left Mountain Point High School. I'm driving down Olive, going back to Glendale Community College right now.
For those that don't know, Jason is the O-line coach. Is that still your title?
Yeah, offensive line coach and recruiting coordinator.
And recruiting coordinator. And so he knows where all these kids are going. Earlier this week, you had dinner with some college coaches from around the country that flew on into Arizona. I know you can't divulge who you spoke about or anything along those lines, but is it safe to say that 6 days to go, that the 2014 class is pretty much done, Jason, and now these coaches are flocking in to try to secure 2015 commitments? Is that where we are?
Yeah, without a doubt, that's a very accurate statement. Most of these kids are committed. Most of the big Division I schools are done recruiting. They're in Arizona now looking at players of the 2015 class, and then they're babysitting the kids that they're for the 2014 class that are supposed to sign next Wednesday, making sure some of these other schools don't come in and poach their recruits.
And so we know pretty much, unless there's some last-minute late-breaking news, and there is on one spot a quarterback. Zach Werlinger is over at Basha High School. I've seen Zach play. I know ASU, U of A are talking to him about being a preferred walk-on. Rich Rod was supposed to meet with him yesterday. A lot of U of A and ASU fans listening, Jason. Anything going on that front?
Now, I haven't heard anything from Zach. He did tell me that ASU and U of A, like you mentioned, are in the mix. You know, he's such a great student that he would go to school for almost nothing anyway. And it's kind of a no-brainer for those two in-state schools to get a player that's had great success at a high school that's you know, known to have college prospects and get a player like that that can come in and, you know, run their scout team initially and then, you know, see if he develops and turns into a player.
How was the quarterback class for 2014? Because Kyle Allen's already left town. He's already at Texas A&M. How was the 2014 quarterback class?
You know, it's probably right on par with how it always is. There's usually one to two players that sign Division I. So right now, there's two. There's Kyle Allen at Texas A&M and Ruben Zirk, who's going to sign with Cal. Those two guys, obviously, they're players, so you don't want to say it's necessarily on par. I'd say it's on par the numbers-wise, not necessarily talent-wise. And then last night, Devin Palomino from Deer Valley, he committed to the University of San Diego, which is a 1AA non-scholarship program. So I would say that this class is right on par, but there's some, you know, some talented players leaving the state.
If you were to advance the story ahead to the 2015 class now, who are the, in terms of quarterbacks, who are the colleges focusing in on now in the quarterback world for 2015? These are kids that are juniors now going to be seniors.
Yeah, there's a handful of very solid prospects. You know, some drivers, I might forget some names, but I like Emmanuel Gant over at Tempe High School, big kid. The top prospect is Brian Lewerke at Pinnacle, already has several offers, UCLA and Arizona State. And then another guy to look at is Sean-Paul Brophy at Chaparral High School. Guy that's got his name out there a little bit and could end up being a college prospect.
In terms of the top recruit in next year's class at any position, is it Christian Kirk at Saguaro?
Without a doubt. I mean, he just got like his 27th scholarship offer the other day, so I mean, without a doubt, it's Kirk.
And when you see a kid like that, how good is this kid going to be? Can you project a little bit that in college, Brad, he's going to be special, and yeah, he's right on track to keep playing even when his college days are over? I know that's dangerous ground, Jason, and I don't want you to, if you don't feel comfortable with that, I want you to overstate it, but we can see kids that have that potential.
Yeah, you know, usually with kids, you know, it's tough because you say, hey, how are they going to mature? How are they going to progress? A player like Christian, though, I think he's a guy that can come in and play as a true freshman. He's already very advanced. So I'm going out on a limb saying that he's a player that can come in, compete right away, and have a chance to be an impact player right away. I don't think I'm stepping over my bounds at all. I think that's a pretty accurate statement. Christian is a great football player and a great person.
Are ASU and U of A in the mix on him, or has he already given the indication he wants to leave the state?
You know what? I think Arizona State is in the mix. I don't know how much U of A is in the mix for him, though.
That's interesting. U of A next week, a couple of questions. U of A's recruiting class next week. How is scout.com looking at U of A's recruiting class that will sign next Wednesday? What's the feel on it?
You know, we're just talking U of A only. I think they've done a great job, especially in-state. Have 8 kids, you know, including the 3 junior college guys that are already on campus, you know, committed or going to sign. So I think their in-state class is very good on a national level. They're also making some splashes. But the same with Arizona State. They're doing they're more so on a national level, where they're ranked in the top 1 or 2 in the Pac-12, depending on, you know, who you talk to.
I'll let you go off that. Safe travels. Appreciate the time and checking in. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good one.
You got it, pal. Jason Jewell, scout.com, recruiting analyst. Next week, there's going to be a lot of content up on sports360az.com on this. And I know AZ Central Sports is doing it as well. I was talking to them yesterday about their plans for National Letter of Intent Day. Some of you don't get Letter of Intent Day, and that's fine. It's fine. It's like some people don't get Super Bowl Media Day. What's the point? But if you're a college football fan at all, then you totally get what Letter of Intent Day is about. It's religion in big parts, in parts of the country that are into college football. And I feel like our state is getting better in that regard. This segment of the show brought to you by Gateway Airport, Gateway Airport in Mesa, where it's just plain easy. Our coverage here at the Waste Management Open, justplaineasy.com. That's justplaineasy.com, year-round Gateway Airport. It's just plain easy. Calais Campbell from New York in a few minutes. So this poll came out, the Harris poll, the Harris Interactive poll, conducting a survey of the most popular sport in America since 1985. Every year since the poll began, and especially in 2013, the winner has been the NFL. When asked to pick a favorite sport, 35% of those chose the NFL. That tops the next 3 answers combined, which are Major League Baseball, college football, and auto racing in that order. College basketball, I think, has to be concerned. College basketball finished with 5% of the vote in 2011 and 2012. This year's poll, another dip, down to 3%. And why is that? If we're just talking about college basketball, why is it that they have started to drop? Is it because of the fact that they have not been able to keep star players and young players in for more than a year, that fans can't really relate to these guys, like Aaron Gordon, for instance, at the U of A? He is terrific. He is tremendous, but you really don't know who he is unless you've watched him. He's going to play one March Madness, and then he's gone, and then there's going to be more kids. You're like, who are these guys? Is it because of that? I think myself, as I watch college basketball now, give you an example. Saturday, Duke is playing Syracuse. Very interesting to hear Duke against Syracuse. Have no idea, couldn't name the 10 starters for the 2 teams combined. Eric, can you? And you're a big college basketball fan. Could you just rattle off the 10 guys, or even 2 or 3 of the guys, that are going to be on the floor for Duke and Syracuse, which is supposed to be a titanic matchup?
No, I cannot.
Yeah. And so, and that's, this is not being critical of the sport. It's just when we look at it and say, why has the interest dropped so much? It's because I don't think fans have been able to gravitate towards those players. When UNLV won their national championship and went on their tremendous run with Jerry Tarkanian, there was Greg Anthony and Anderson Hunt and Larry Johnson and George Ackles and Stacey Ogman. I'm up to 5, and I didn't do any preparation on it. When Duke was able to go with the Christian Laettner era and Grant Hill, and there was Bobby Hurley, Ala Abdanabi, you're just kind of looking at a different era now, where when you watch, and I think that's why the familiarity of the NFL is so big. If you're a Bears fan, you want to see Jay Cutler play. You may not know the rest of the team, but you have a pretty good idea who that guy wearing the helmet is. College basketball, you see these guys in jerseys, and all it is says Duke and Syracuse on it. So that's an interesting deal there. Calais Campbell next from New York. Appreciate Calais' time. Jahi Carson, we're chasing him as well before we get out of here. At the Phoenix Open, Waste Management Open, Patriots Outpost. Tremendous atmosphere here. Sports360AZ.com. And, of course, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sysmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, live from the Waste Management Phoenix Open on the 18th tee at Patriots Outpost. Brad Sysmat with you. It's about 79 degrees. Phil Mickelson is out on the course doing his thing. Let's take the show from here on the 18th tee back to New York City, and joining us live, I think he's alongside Radio Row, is Calais Campbell. It's always good to catch up with Calais on the show. Where are you right now, Calais?
I'm at the Sheraton Hotel where I do Radio Row, and just stepped out to a little side area in like a little restaurant. Kick back cozy, got a little fireplace going. It's cold outside, so it's nice.
Yeah, so it's 79 degrees here, and what do you think it is back there? Like what, 20? What's the temperature back?
Maybe 22.
22 degrees for Calais. But you're having a lot of fun, right, even though it's 57 degrees difference?
Yeah, I'm trying to stay indoors. If I was in Phoenix, I'd definitely be out and about enjoying the nice weather. But New York's always a good time, especially for this event.
Okay, so what products are you pushing? It's because everybody's got something that they're pushing. What are you pushing, Calais? I'm giving you a layup here. Go ahead and just products are you?
I'm not really pushing any products in my page. You know, pushing products. I'm just here just for the ambience and just the atmosphere. You know, my mentality is I want to come here and see it. So you know, next year, you know, I'll be trying to be around and people talking about me because I'm playing in it. You know, that's the goal. You know, right now it's just taking ambience. You know, just enjoying. I'm not really pushing the products. Just trying to push. You know, the Arizona Cardinals. You know, hopefully, you know, we can become Super Bowl champions one day.
Yeah, so next year, well, and I respect that. I respect the fact that you're not pushing product. I think that's great. But next year, you cannot have time to talk to me because you have to have the Cardinals in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
You cannot be doing Radio Row next year.
Yeah. No Radio Row.
You can't do that.
No Row. All the interviews will be on that media day. That one day you get where you got 1,000 media out there at one time. That's gonna be a fun time though. But you know, I've been to Super Bowl, my rookie year, that was fun. But it was so different being young and not really knowing and appreciating it to hopefully in the future, the upcoming year would be nice, or any year in the future, just to actually be there again, to get the opportunity again, I'd be able to capitalize on it the right way.
Calais Campbell with Brad Sysmat. Calais in New York for the Super Bowl at Media Row. Brad Sysmat here on 18th tee at the Patriots Outpost. All right, are you rooting for Seattle?
No, not at all. It's hard for me to root for Seattle. When our division was terrible, it made sense to try to root for our division just so we can get respect. But now that we have that respect, I can't root for Seattle. It's just hard. I have friends on Seattle. I want to see them do well. But I also have friends on the Broncos. And all my family loves the Broncos. And all my friends love the Broncos. So because of them, I want to see the Broncos win too, even though I used to be a huge Broncos fan, but once we played them, all that love just vanished.
Is there something about the Seahawks that you guys on the Cardinals just don't like?
I mean, it's a rivalry. You know, anybody in your division naturally becomes a rivalry. And when you play against a team and the way the mentality you have to have against them, you really develop a dislike, a strong dislike. I mean, you see it every time we play them or every time we play San Fran. Either way, those games are like, the most physical, most brutal, just most trash-talking. You know, it's natural. We just, we want to win so bad that you kind of have to hate them.
But after you beat them and drilled them up in Seattle this year, they still were pretty mouthy even after you beat them, right?
Yeah, that's how it is. Because their record was a little bit better. You know, we started a little slow and it came out strong at the end. So we gave them an opportunity to talk to them. Super Bowl. They are a very good team. But I felt like if we had made it to the playoffs, we would have had a chance to be in the Super Bowl, too. I think we're a really good team. So, you know, really, it's just the way you take it is, you know, they're good this year, but I can't wait to play them again next year and show the world a little bit of a fluke and that, you know, we could be a better team than they are.
Could you break bread today, Calais Campbell, with Marshawn Lynch and Richard Sherman?
Say that again?
Could you sit and have dinner today with Marshawn Lynch or Richard Sherman?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really a personal guy. When I'm on the field, I dislike you. Off the field, it's more of a, you know, like, it's not the same. My personal life and my field life are completely different. So, yeah, if Richard Sherman or Marshawn Lynch was to eat dinner, it might be a little awkward, but I think we, you know, I mean, I can keep football out of it, but we're just talking about football. It's going to be heated and tense in there. But if we keep football out of it,
sure,
it'd be probably a good time.
Because you're a very likable guy. I can't see you getting after somebody, but are there players on the Seahawks, I'm not going to throw any more names out, but are there players on the Seahawks that you would say, Brad, there's not a chance I would sit and have dinner with this player? Are there those guys?
Nah. There's not a player in the NFL I would not have dinner with. Even, you know, like when Richie Incognito was with the Rams, and he was considered one of the greatest players in the league, and he would try to cut you and mess with you, and he's always, you know, trying to, you know, do something that you didn't really like as a player. But even afterwards, you know, I've hung out with him and got to know him, and he's a good guy off the field. But on the field, you know, he's a guy you don't want to play just because he's kind of, you know, could be considered dirty, you know. But off the field, I got to know him, and he was a pretty cool guy during, you know, when we hung out. So once I experienced that, I feel like just, you know, no matter who I play against, even if I hate you at the time, you know, afterwards, you know, I take football out of it, and, you know, and they're good guys. It's like a fraternity with the NFL.
Who are the guys on the Broncos you would like to sit and have dinner with?
Dominic West, Camardi, but the only one I really know for sure. And maybe Ryan Clady, but he's already playing. But, you know, Orlando Franklin, I play college ball with. Those guys I already know. They're my, you know, good friends of mine. We can, you know, go have dinner, you know, catch up, and have a good time. You know, so really, Paris Lennon, too, you know, those guys are good friends of mine. So it's easy to go have dinner with them.
And in terms of playing at Giants Stadium, all the conversation is turning towards the wind, and the wind being a factor. You play in a position where you don't really care about the wind one way or the other, but when you're on special teams, you've seen the wind wreak havoc. There you're very good at special teams. Tell me about that stadium and special teams, Calais.
Yeah, I do think the only thing really that's affected by the wind is the kicking game. You know, we're trying to make a field goal. You know, it's 44-yard field goals come critical, especially in big games like the Super Bowl or a playoff game, any big game. So if you can't kick field goals, that really takes away your chance to win, especially a team like Seattle who relies so much on their kicker, you know. So it really is tough. But I think as far as, you know, throwing game, everything like that, I don't think the wind will be affected. You know, Peyton Manning threw for like 40 yards when it was super windy against San Diego a couple games ago. So, you know, I don't think the wind will really affect them, you know, as an offense, but as for special teams, definitely it will affect the kicking game.
Okay, I have a couple other questions. I'll let you go. Calais Campbell with Brad Sussmat. Calais, just outside of Radio Row in New York City. What is Calais Campbell going to go do other than football stuff? Are you going to the Statue of Liberty? Are you going to ride a subway? What are you going to do the next few days, Calais?
I've been in New York a few times, so I've did a lot of the tour stuff already in my day. But really, I'm going to just kick back, relax, hang out. You know, the thing about why I really like going to the Super Bowl is because you really get to see all your friends, the guys on different teams, guys you played with before, you know, guys you play college ball with, or guys you just befriended over the years. So the Super Bowl is really a good time just to hang out and get on the ballot and really just keep, it's like a big fraternity in the NFL. Everybody's cool with each other. Everybody's friends for the most part. So when you get to the Super Bowl, it's just nice to hang out and see everybody and just kick back and relax.
So you're not going to go hold up a sign outside of the Today Show studios and jump up and down?
Yeah, that sounds like a good time. It's tempting, but I think I'm going to pass on that one.
Pass on that one. What parties are you going to that you're looking forward to attending, Calais?
Well, you know, there are always good parties. The EA Sports has a good party. ESPN has a good party. Maxim has a good party. You know, I'm doing a lot of – I got to do a couple of charity things. I've been going with United Way. Pretty soon we're going to get to the kids. And it's always fun to get to interact and play around with, you know, some of the youth, you know, so it's kind of cool. And then, but really, all the parties are a good time for the most part, you know, but I feel like the ones I have the most fun with is usually like EA Sports or the Maxim, they're always usually the best ones.
Are you planning on going to Africa this offseason again?
You know, I'm looking into it again. I'm not sure when the dates are, but it really it's a fun trip. You know, it's hard not to go. You know, you want to go there and just help and get some fun going. So yeah, I'll probably end up going again. But I haven't made plans yet. But if things work out the way they're supposed to, I'm definitely be there again.
All right, who do you like to win the game?
Oh yeah, that's gonna be it's gonna be an interesting one. I think the Broncos, but I think this will be a close game. I think the Broncos will win. By probably like maybe like, you know, I would say like, you know, two field goals or a touchdown, you know, maybe 6 points, 7 points.
Stay well. Appreciate the time. As always, look forward to seeing you when you get back. Thanks, Calais.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always good talking to you.
You got it. Calais Campbell. I was going to catch up with Calais, one of the really good guys, and it's cool that his thought on the Seahawks and who he could sit and have dinner with and that. I don't think he holds back very often. Eric, Calais is so brutally honest. I don't think he holds back. But I didn't get the sense that the Marshawn Lynch, hey, can you please pass the ketchup, would go over very well.
Yeah, you know, I can't really see that happening, but it didn't completely surprise me because Calais, like you said, he grew up a Broncos fan. He's from the Denver area. And the rivalry in the NFC West, there's a lot of chippiness, and that's good because it's a competitive league, and competitive in a good way, not competitive in the first place team is going to finish 8-8 like it used to be.
Yeah, I still have to wait to see what the weather's going to be like, because if it's really windy, there's just something that tells me Seattle's defense is going to be able to beat Denver. I know these Bronco fans, I'm probably sitting next to one too, these Bronco nitwits that just get all worked up. That's right, Scott's a Bear fan. You know, that it's all about Peyton. Like, I saw a story this morning, Eric, where they renamed all 53 of the Rocky Mountains after Broncos players. That is a little much. That's like, man, you guys just need to go have a date night or do something different with your life.
It doesn't, but that doesn't surprise me because people in Denver are so crazy about the Broncos that stuff like that doesn't really surprise me up there.
Well, now that weed's legal up there, I mean, come on, go have some fun with it. But who's sitting around saying, why don't we name all the mountains after Bronco players? Yeah, that's a really good idea. You know what? I'm going to take my day off from work, and I'm going to go see the one that looks like Paris Lennon. I'm going to name that mountain Paris. Well, no, Paris is in France. Well, no, he's a linebacker for the Broncos. Just me. Jahi Carson is scheduled to join us. And we'll see if we get him. I'm holding my breath on that. He played terrific last night. That's coming up next. We're broadcasting live from the Patriots Outpost here at the Phoenix Open, Waste Management Open, on the 18th tee where Mickelson teed off a short time ago. This place, all you have to do to get in here is show your military ID. Active, retired, you get in here. It's free food. It's free drink. You've got a great seat. It's all free, but you can't just walk in here to check us out. You have to be military ID to get in here. Sports360AZ.com, plenty of unique content, just like doing the show from here today. AZ Central Sports, we are partnered up with them now. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, @BradSusmat. Thanks for being with us. Busy Thursday out on the golf course.